Chapter 8 Bad Dreams. During the last two nights before the wedding, I slept badly and had many dreams. In one, there was a huge fire and Thornfield was a burned ruin. In another, a scary woman came to my room. She was laughing while she held up the white wedding veil that was a present from Mr. Rochester. Then, she cut it into two pieces and stood on it. The next day, I told Mr. Rochester about it. "You're just excited about the wedding, my love," he said. "I'm sure that it was just a dream." But in the morning, when I woke, I found the veil in two pieces on my bedroom floor, I replied. He looked worried then and put his arms round me. "Oh, I'm glad that wild animal did not hurt you, Jane. It was Grace Poole. You know she is strange, don't you? Later, I will explain everything to you." The morning of the wedding arrived. Sophie dressed me in a plain white dress, and then John took Mr. Rochester and me to the church in his carriage. When we were entering the church, I noticed two men standing outside. They had their backs to us, and I could not see their faces. Mr. Rochester was hurrying inside, and he did not see them. There was no one in the church but us two and the clergyman. He began speaking, and suddenly I noticed the two men coming in at the back of the church. The clergyman was saying, "Will this man take this woman to be his wife?" when one of the men shouted, "These people cannot get married! There is a problem!" The clergyman went quiet. Then we all turned to look at the man who spoke. "My name is Briggs," he said. "I am a lawyer. I work for this gentleman, Mr. Mason. Mr. Rochester already has a wife, and she is still living. Her name is Bertha Mason, and she is Mr. Mason's sister. Mr. Rochester married her 15 years ago in Spanish Town, Jamaica." Then the other man moved forward, and I knew his face. He was the man who came to Thornfield in the spring. "It's all true," he said. "My sister is now living at Thornfield. I saw her there last April."
"You've said enough! Yes, it's true!" shouted Mr. Rochester. "Bertha Mason is unwell, and she came from a difficult family. But I only learned this after I married her. I don't have to explain more. Please come up to the house and meet my wife."
He put his hand on my arm and hurried me out of the church towards Thornfield. The three men followed us. When we came to Thornfield, we followed him up the stairs. He took us through the door where I usually saw Grace Poole come and go, and we went up into the attic. Then he pulled me into a room without a window. I immediately saw Grace Poole cooking next to a huge fire. At the end of the room, a woman ran backwards and forwards on her hands and feet. She had long hair over her face, and she made the sounds of a wild animal. When she saw Mr. Rochester, she opened her mouth and screamed. "Meet my wife," said Mr. Rochester. "This is the only woman who I am allowed to hold in my arms. But this is who I want to have." He put his hand on my shoulder. "I want this quiet, modest young girl who watches everything so carefully. Now go, all of you!" We all left. I walked down the stairs next to the lawyer.
None of this is because of you, Miss Eyre, he said. Your uncle, if he is still living, will be very happy to hear that you did not marry Mr. Rochester.
My uncle, I said. Do you know him?
Mr. Mason does, he explained. He was with Mr. Eyre when he got your letter about the wedding. Mr. Mason was very worried, and, of course, he felt that he had to tell your uncle. Mr. Eyre was very ill. I hope that he hears this news before he dies.